Blog Talk Radio.
Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly, today is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his wonderful name together. Yes, let you, you and you, let us exalt that wonderful name together. That name is Jesus. Truly, we thank and praise God for each and every one of you, and we welcome all of our wonderful listeners from near and far and abroad. We thank God for you, and I'm so excited that you joined me on today, and we have another glorious lesson on today, and I'm just so excited about it on today and how you are going to be greatly, greatly blessed. And so as we get ready to get started, I'm going to invite you to come on in and make yourself right at home and bring your Bible, and let's look at the Word of the Lord. Truly, we have another glorious lesson on today. Yes, I'm talking about victorious living through the Word of Empowerment from the Biblical Lessons and Principle, exploring the theological implication and contextualizing the relevancy of today's living. I tell you, child of God, you're going to be greatly, greatly blessed. Let's take a look at our lesson on today. We're going to be talking about living in the last days, in which we recognize in the signs and the time of the day in which we live in. And our scripture reference is going to be found over in 1 Timothy chapter number 4, verses number 1 through verse number 13. And let's take a look at that and read that on this morning. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, dear God, for another opportunity to come and gather again, once again, with your precious people. We take this time to bind the emissaries of the adversary, and we call your sovereign will to be done and accomplished in and through your people on this day. And Father, we'll praise your blessed name and give you the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The lesson text we're going to be looking at again is 1 Timothy chapter number 4, verses 1 through verse 13. And it reads on this line: Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed unto seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meat, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wise fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For godly body profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that is now and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying worthy of expectation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer in word, be example in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading and to exhortation to doctrine. And let's look at one more verse on today, and that's going to be verse number 16, also in 1 Timothy chapter number 4, verse 16. It said, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou both shalt save thyself and them that hear thee. Thus far, the reading of the scripture. as we look at our lesson on today, let's take a look here. And we recognize that this writing is coming from Paul, and he's talking about the foundation of our faith. When we're looking at this particular passage of Scripture and things, and when you look at 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus and Philemon, you're looking at a foundation of our faith. Let's look. The Bible gives us ample warning of the condition of the last day. And as we even take a look and see even now, we can see the conditions and see things that are transpiring and things that are happening right before our eyes. And we should reject the perverted pulpits and the ungodly lifestyles, even of this generation. And as we can see and recognize in this generation, the ungodliness and then that is unprofitable unto the people of God. Now, let us take a look at this here. As time passes, we become further removed in time from the historic beginning of the apostolic church, and the assault upon the foundational truth and principle become more intense. Now, in Paul's letter to Timothy, he warned against false teachers, false doctrine that would inevitably threaten the very character and the nature even of the apostolic church. Now, Satan's assault on the church of this present day is his final attempt to weaken and immobilize it and prevent it from accomplishing its mission of the world evangelism. If we are to take a stand against false doctrine and false teachers, we first must come to know and cherish the apostolic doctrine and the truth as they are set forth in the Word of God. Now, as we draw nearer to the end of age and the culmination of the battle between good and evil, false prophets and false teaching will abound more and more. Knowledge shall increase, yet people will continue in error and fulfill the scripture, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. And you'll find that over in 2 Timothy 3 and 7. Now, although the truth of God's word will shine brighter as we near the dawning of a new day, gross darkness shall cover the people who choose to walk in iniquity. Now, let's take a moment here and examine the scripture here for just a moment. When we think in terms of iniquity, we think in terms of wickedness, going after the wickedness or the things that are wicked. And even we must examine our own heart and begin to allow God to let the light from the lighthouse, from his lighthouse, and let him search, or in essence, open our heart to let God search our heart and God search our minds for the word of the Lord, whether these things be true or not, but just to search our heart and mind if there's any wickedness or anything that is in you that is not like you, take it out and strengthen us. And there was a song that we often would sing in that regards and asking God, you know, let the light from the lighthouse shine down on us. And if he sees any wicked thing within our heart, take it out and strengthen us, because we want to be all that he called us out to be as a man and woman of God. Now, let's look at a sign and some of the signs of the last days. Now, there's going to be spiritual conflict. In an attempt to confuse and delude the church, Satan has crafted a worldview that seeks to obscure the clear distinction that separates right from wrong and good from evil. Today, we live in a world culture that acknowledges no moral or spiritual absolute. Rather, society lives within a kind of like a gray shadow of realism and relativism. And Satan showed and knows that if he can blur the distinction between holiness and unrighteousness, between right and wrong, it will become easier to cause God's people to stray from the path of righteousness and even truth. Now, let's look at that, because here this is in Scripture. 1 Timothy 4 and verse number 1, it said, "The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith." Now, the word expressly in 1 Timothy, it speaks of that which is clearly or distinctly. Now, the voice of the Spirit, the Word of God, speak clearly and distinctly, lest there should be some confusion or misunderstanding with regards to spiritual conditions in the latter day. Now, the Word of God warns us that sin will abound in the latter times and that it will separate mankind from God further than ever before. Moreover, the war for the souls of mankind will increase at every facet of man's existence, comes up under strong attack. And I tell you, children of God, if never before, you can feel the strong attack that is definitely, that has been coming up and against the precious people of God as never before. And so we can see in these latter days that sin and things and darkness is trying to invade the minds, the spirit of the people of God. But I thank God because the Bible said that, you know, that Jesus already prayed for us, that our faith will not fail us. But it's up to us to stay in the faith. It's up to us to be wanting and willing to be kept. Now, let's look further. You know, times like these compel us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ clearly and more distinctly so that as many as possible might come to a fuller understanding and reception of God's grace. The message of repentance of sins, water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and receiving the Holy Ghost is more important than ever before. Jesus stated emphatically, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man is born of the water and of spirit, they cannot enter into the kingdom of God." You'll find that over in John 3, verses number 5. The term in the latter times is equivalent in the last days, referred to the period of the time immediately preceding the millennial reign of Christ. It is an unspecified period of time closely associated with the rapture of the church and the second advent of Christ. Now, Joel 2 clearly points to the future fulfillment in the last day, Acts 2 and 17. This outpouring of the Spirit will follow a time of national repentance upon the part of Israel just prior to Israel's complete regathering and restoration. Israel will be exhorted by the sound of the trumpet in Zion to repent with fasting and weeping and mourning, for the day of the Lord will be near, Joel 2 and verse number 1. Now, further illustrate the primary fulfillment of this event in the last day, Joel continued, and also upon the servant and upon the handmaids, in those days will I pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders in heaven and earth, blood and fire and pillar of smoke. The earth, the sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood. Behold, the great and terrible day of the Lord come. Behold, in those days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations. Again, we're talking about Joel, chapter number 2, verses 29 to 31, also chapter number 3, verses 1 through 2. Now, these events that shall follow the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the last day immediately preceded the day of the Lord and the outpouring of God's wrath. Therefore, as we see the spiritual condition of the last day deteriorating, we should strive to abstain from ungodly lifestyles and false doctrine of this present age that we might attain unto the righteousness of the fulfillment of Christ. And so that's the spiritual conflict that will be going on, and we see it going on even now. Now, let's look further at the great apostasy. Now, this is going to be very, very key even for you to understand. Now, apostasy, or the departing away from the faith, translated from in the Greek word, indicates and states as in stagnation, to revolt, or to remove oneself from the apostolic doctrine or the principle. Similarly, Israel will abandon the promises that God gave to Abraham to possess the land of the Palestine by compromising his inheritance and making peace with the Antichrist. Now, a similar Greek word, apostolos, occurs in 2 Thessalonians 2 and 3, and it is translated by the word falling away. it carries the same meaning of defecting from or forsaking the truth. As we draw nearer to the coming of Jesus Christ, many who once possessed apostolic truth will compromise their faith in order to be at peace with the world. Declining moral and spiritual value will also engulf this compromiser of the faith, that they will become indistinguishable from the world and things. And a subtle spirit will subdue those who compromise truth, and it will cause them to accept clever imitations of the master deceiver, which is Satan himself. These deception and false doctrines will be disguised in language and in the appearance that they will appeal to those who seek self-justification. But we should be aware. Now, the term subduing spirit, it also implies going astray or wandering out of the way. It is to be erratic and to mislead as an impostor. Even now, there are many false prophets and false teachers who lead many astray by imitating the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit while abandoning the admonition to walk before the God in holiness of mind and in body. And that is so very, very key, because where the enemy and in his subtlety will want us to think that we can just live any kind of way before the Lord our God and not be accountable, God has said for us to be holy even as he is holy. And so walking in holiness of mind and holiness even of body is very key for us as the children and the people of God. Now, let's look at another aspect of the last days that we will see so that you can understand. The corrupt generation. The unrighteous living of the generation is predicted upon pleasure. The prevailing maxim of this age is, if it feels good, do it. Nothing is considered bad that satisfies the appetite of the flesh. But the scripture declared that in the last day, individuals will be lovers, love pleasure more than God. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 4. How easy is it for them to rationalize their sins, believing that the end justifies the mean? Iniquity and deceit abound in every area of life as a testimony that we are living in the last day. Isaiah admonition to Israel is a relevant in our day as it was then. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity and sin as it were with the cords of rope. Cart of rope that says, let him make speed and hasten his work that we may see it, and let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come that we may know it. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, and that put darkness for light and light for darkness, but put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And you'll find that over in Isaiah 5, chapter verse number 18 through verse number 20. The pervasive spirit of sin has possibly been felt more fervently in its assault against and upon the family value. More than half of those who are presently married who has been divorced, ranking the United States 12th among the nation in the percentage of marriages ending even in divorce. The nuclear family, consisting of the mother, father, and children, have become an extinct as opposed to the norm. Now it is more often parents, step-parents, children, step-children, single parents and children, or live-in parents or parents and children and things. This generation have been victimized by the doctrine of easy believism and once saved, always saved. Preachers of perverse pulpit preachers' message that suggests that a person can be saved only by a simple confession of faith. This gospel of an easy believism requires no repentance and makes water baptism an unnecessary option to be administered at the convenience of the believers. There is no record in the New Testament where anyone accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal savior by mere confession of faith. But in all instances where men and women accepted the gospel, their response of the faith prompted them to repent of their sins and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. That's over in Mark chapter number 16 and verse 16. Now, Luke testified of the Samaritan believer, but when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Now, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they would come down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost, for as yet he has fallen upon none of them only, but were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, then laid their hands upon them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And you'll find that over in Acts chapter 8, verses number 12, Acts 14 and verses 14 and 17. Now, we can be saved only through the transformation power of the Holy Ghost. Jesus alone can save us from our sins. Acts 5, 3 through 31 through 32. Now, others teach that it's impossible to fall from grace once a person becomes a believer. But the Bible teaches that we deny the faith when we attempt to justify ourselves by the law. Now, Christ is become of no effect unto you whosoever you are justified by the law. Ye are fallen from the grace or from grace. You'll find that over in Galatians 4 and verses 5, verses number 4. If we are saved by grace, we must walk in grace by fulfilling the will of God. Jesus illustrated this principle in the parable of the unmerciful servant who, though he had been forgiven of an erroneous debt, enormous debt, refused to forgive his fellow servant from the small debt that he was owed and due. As a result, he was cast into prison and delivered unto the tormentor. Now, let's look further here, because this is very key for us as children of God, because many reject the name. Many reject the teaching of being baptized in the name, receiving the name and things, and receiving the fullness thereof of Christ. Now, let's look at the reminder of the New Testament ministry. Remembering the apostolic teaching, the early church was built upon faith in God and his word. Our walk with God must not be dependent upon outward circumstances, but upon the unwavering faith in the promises of God. Now, through faith, we have entered into the kingdom of God, for we are saved by faith in his death, burial, and resurrection. God's promises are true, and we will inherit eternal life if we hold fast to his word. So then faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10 and 17. Now, may the word of God grow more precious to our heart as we see the day appearing of our departure. Now, the true doctrine of the gospel of Jesus Christ will nurture, will strengthen the inward man in order to maintain fellowship with God. To love sound doctrine is to love God's word. As we grow in the knowledge of his word, we come to know God in his presence, in his essence. As we walk in his word, we become to know him in relationship. It is impossible to love God and despise his word and despise his name, or despise the word that reveals the very nature of God. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandment. He that hath my commandment and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my saying." You'll find that over in John 14, verses 15, also verse 21 and verse 24. God is made manifest by his word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1, verses 1 through 12, and verse number 14. Let us, therefore, continue in the doctrine of the apostles that we might be strengthened in the spirit of his might Now, further, let's take a look. Now, rejecting erroneous teaching. God's word admonishes not to keep company with those who oppose sound doctrine. Any teaching that is not supported by the scripture is false doctrine, but those who especially reject any teaching that denies the principle of the doctrines of Christ. The foundational truth of the doctrine of Christ include repentance from dead works, faith towards God, the doctrine of baptism of water and spirit, the laying on of hand, the resurrection of the dead, including the rapture, and of the eternal judgment in hell, the lake of fire, and even also being caught up into heaven. Now, these basic and fundamental truths that compass the necessity of the new birth are fixed, and they're not negotiable. These are what Jesus Christ has given and delivered unto the church. Some teaching may not oppose the doctrine of Christ, but they may be unprofitable. These principles are profane and vain babbling that serve no purpose in the furtherance of the kingdom of God. And that's how you can tell, is this advancing the kingdom of God, or is it just really making me feel good? And things, or is it advancing me? Is it bringing me to another place in God that it can advance the kingdom of God? Now, vain babbling means fruitless discussion or conversation to no purpose. Old wise fable evidently referred to the Jewish tradition passed down from generation to generation that, when examined by the light of the scripture, were found to be an error. But let us reject all false doctrine that opposes true biblical holiness while striving to grow in grace in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. 1 Peter 3:18. All doctrine is subject to the light of the ever-present, never-changing Word of God. Now, let's look at the next point we want to look at is the investment for the future, the benefit of exercising. Now, bodily exercise strengthens the physical body and rejuvenates the mind, but it also accomplishes very little in building spiritual strength. Although physical or body exercise is necessary and vital to the physical well-being of both men and women, we must not neglect spiritual exercise. Eating healthy food and maintaining a healthful regimen of physical exercise help to nurture our healthy body and resistance to sickness and disease. As the creation of God and the image of the Heavenly Father, we should not defile or neglect that which God has chosen to be the temple of the Holy Ghost. Nevertheless, no matter how perfect our physique or how vile and strong our physical bodies, it is of little profit if we neglect the exercise of our spiritual man. Therefore, since physical exercise is profitable to the body, how much more important it is to exercise ourselves in the things of the Spirit. We are to focus our time and energy on the things that promote godliness. Exercising ourselves in the prayer and the study of God's word enable us to stand strong against the forces of evil. Just as a diet and exercise are important and vital to our physical well-being, we need the nourishment and the strength that comes from the scripture. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God, Matthew 4:4. Meditation on God's word gives us faith and confidence to face each obstacle with an assurance of God's power and love. By exercising our spiritual man in the things of the Spirit, we exercise in an abundance of God's blessing in the present world and eternal life in the world to come. We rejoice in the blessing of the Spirit, but these blessings do not come without labor. No athlete ever achieve greatness by being slowful in their physical preparation. Rigorous exercise often pushes the athlete to their or his or her physical limits and precede great achievement. Likewise, if we are to strive to attain unto the stature of Christ, we must be willing to deny the flesh by keeping our bodies under subjection to the mind and to the will of the Spirit. Now, living the Christian life and striving for godliness is an exercise that tests the stamina and the endurance of every believer. And you'll see that over in 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24 through verse number 27. Now, let's look further. Living an infant-free life. When we only live life to, we only have one life to live, and we must live it to the glory of God. Life is too precious to squander the momentarily pleasure of sin. Our lives should reflect the nature of God through the presence of the Holy Ghost. When we are born again of water and of the Spirit, our lives become transformation and enable us to be called the sons of God. By virtue of the indwelling Spirit of Christ within us, we ought to let our lives be seasoned with the grace of God and the perfect holiness and the fear of the Lord. Since God is love, we ought to love one another. We are to love our enemies and pray for those who despitefully use us. Matthew 5 and 44. As disciples of Christ, we should strive for a spirit of meekness, trusting not in the things of the flesh, but walking in faith, knowing that the promise of God are sure and steadfast. Let us also live our lives above reproach in the fear of God and in the purity of his holiness. We ought to give ourselves to the reading of God's word by studying his word and applying it to our lives. We grow in grace and in the knowledge. The Bible exhorts, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2, verses 15. Reading God's word requires discipline and illumination of the Holy Ghost. Now, the exhortation of God's word through preaching is the utmost important for every child of God. Even though we are exhorted to give attendance into reading, no amount of independent study is sufficient within itself. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For after that is the wisdom of God. The world by wisdom knew not God. It pleases God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. 1 Corinthians 1, verses 18 and verse 21. Now, Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 12. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Further, God has placed these various ministries within the church that we might grow in grace and knowledge. Thus, through the reading the scripture, exhortating of the word of God, and the application of biblical doctrine, we may become complete in Christ. If we are filled with the Holy Ghost, let us walk according to the Spirit. As we walk in the Spirit, we are able to overcome the temptation of the flesh. The Holy Ghost is able to keep unto us unto the day of redemption, if we devote ourselves wholly unto the Lord. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed of one another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Galatians chapter number 5, verses 14 through 16. If we are filled with the Spirit, we should desire to please God, laying aside everything that might hinder our relationship with him. Now, let's look farther. A person and their doctrine and his doctrine. We must be on a constant guard against false doctrine that denies the foundational truth of the Bible. God's word provides the pattern for our lives, daily lives, and the object of our faith. The scripture came to us through the holy men of God as the Spirit moved upon them. It contains the whole counsel of God and the basis for all doctrine and instruction in righteousness. We must beware of false teachers who would pervert the truth of the Bible in order to promote the vain philosophy of men. The Bible is the infallible word of God, and we must not add to or take away from God's word, lest we bring damnation upon our soul. And you can see that over in 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 through 17, 2 Peter 1, verses 19 through 21. As we draw nearer to the coming of the Lord, false teachers, False doctrine will multiply against the truth doctrine of the church. Jesus warned his disciples, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Then shall the end come. Matthew 24, verses 11 through 14. We should take heed unto ourselves, to our doctrine, unto our salvation in Christ. For sure. And it is not enough to believe in Christ at our initial conversion in order to be saved, but we must continue in the doctrine of Christ by walking in his spirit and his commandments. And our salvation, like Timothy, is contingent upon our continuance in the truth. False doctrine, like false profession, will damn the soul and allow sin to enter into one's life. If we are to inherit eternal life, we must be begotten by his word. To deny God's word is to deny God. God's word is the seed by which we are born into the family of God. You'll see 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 through verse number 23. Furthermore, by teaching doctrine unto others, Timothy would save others who would be instructed thereby. Doctrine is not negative words to be avoided in polite conversation, but doctrinal teaching and preaching are essential to salvation of the lost world. Preaching that avoids the clear teaching of Scripture is not preaching at all. As we proclaim the apostles' doctrine of repentance, water baptism in the name, the infilling of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues and walking in faith and holiness, we hasten the appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ for his bride. So let us continue on in sound doctrine, in the word of the Lord, and even in the faith that was once delivered, even unto the church. And so in my conclusion on today, if we are to escape the delusion and the ungodly lifestyles of the last days, we must renew our love and appreciation for the truth. The surest way to recognize the counterfeit doctrine of the devil seducer is to familiarize ourselves with the apostolic doctrine of the New Testament church. By following after the apostle doctrine, we can avoid the perilous path of compromise and human reasoning that perverts the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not enough to know the truth, but we must cling to it with our whole heart. For the mystery of iniquity doth always work. Only he who will now let it will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall compass with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and sign and lying wonders and with all deceivableness. And of righteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of truth, that they may be saved. That's 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, verses number 7 through verse number 10. And so, child of God, we must recognize what the word of the Lord said is so true. You must be careful of the rejecting of and reject the erroneous gospel or teaching. We must be reminded and remember the apostolic teaching, the teaching from the apostle that was delivered unto the church, the benefit of exercising godly righteousness and living right up right before the Lord our God, and living an infinitely life, a life that is above sin and reproach, and living with godliness in our mind and holiness in our mind and holiness in our spirit before the Lord our God. That's not to say that people will not fall or people will not come short, but once you see the truth, walk therein. Once you see the error, repent, turn back around unto the Lord Jesus Christ, get right, get back in the full relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and that full communion, that sweet communion of the Holy Ghost. And like the word said, that now the Spirit expressly, that in the latter days, latter times some shall depart from the truth, giving heed to subduing spirits and doctrines of devil, speaking lies and hypocrisies, and having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And so it goes on and talks about the various type of the condition that will take place during these last days. And so I admonish you, child of God, to hold fast. And if you're not holding fast, or even if you're questioning in your mind, get back into the scripture. Go back to the book of Acts. Go back to the history of the church, which is the book of Acts, and begin to read it. If you don't know, if you're griping in your heart and saying, well, Pastor, I don't really know. You know, I heard so many different things against that or other ways. Well, you seek God for yourself. He said, I'll be found of you. You go after God, and you begin to get into the word. That's what the church of Berea did. They searched out the words daily to see whether these things be true. And sometimes we have to just get into the word and begin to allow the Holy Spirit to illuminate our mind, to give us understanding and welcome him in to share with us and talk to us in our heart, minds, and soul about God and the things of God and about his word. Because the scripture said, in all thy getting, get an understanding and watch God bless you in a mighty and a powerful and a powerful way as never before, because he wants to do it. And I know the adversary don't want you to hear this lesson even on today, but I guarantee you, if you go back to God, I guarantee you start seeking God with your whole heart, mind, and soul, he said, I will be found of you. And he will tell you, he will lead you and guide you into all truth. He will give you revelation and understanding even about the name, his name. He will bless you immensely as never before. And so, child of God, in my closing, I want you to recognize that Jesus Christ, he loves you. He died for you over 2,000 years ago that we might have access unto God and things, that we can come boldly unto him and attain mercy and help in time of need. And so, child of God, as we hasten and go back and run back unto God, watch God do some great and mighty things in and through your life because you dare to run after him and seek him at his word to see whether these things be true. And so I pray that this was helpful unto your life and that it will open up your understanding and fortify you as we put our heart and mind around the things of God as we move further, and we'll be mindful that we won't fall into the seductive and subduing spirits and false teaching that is so prevalent nowadays, that is even in this world. Search the scripture. I admonish you, I warn you, I encourage you, get your Bible back out. Sit down and read it and understand it, and ask God and ask the Holy Spirit to give you understanding. He said, I give knowledge unto those who have I'll give my knowledge unto them that have understanding, and I will give wisdom unto the wise. And we recognize that God said for us not to lean unto our own understanding, but in all our ways, if we just acknowledge him, he will direct our path. And so take time out and just start acknowledging him. Take time out and just begin to really go into relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and begin to understand him and understand the love that he has for you and understand his name. And so I pray that you have been blessed as never before, and that you continue to make your calling and election sure, and that you seek after God and run hard after him and watch him bless you. Watch him overtake you and bless you as he bring revelation, illumination unto your heart, mind, and soul. And so as we get ready to close, I pray that you will be blessed. And I want to pray this prayer with you. Father, we repent of our sins and our iniquity. We repent and, Lord, transgression of anything that we may have done against you. And, Father, we ask, dear God, that you will help us as we turn from our ways and we seek your face And Father, Lord, we call upon your name, because we humble ourselves boldly up under your mighty hand and ask that you would move by your power divine. And Lord, that you would flow in and through our life as never before, and let not our will, but thy will, not our way, but your will and your way be done and accomplished as never before, Father, as we call upon your blessed name. We say, have thine own way, O God, and move by your power divine. And Father, we'll praise you and give you the glory and the honor. Bless and illuminate the minds and spirit of your people that are searching you and seeking you. Give them revelation of your name. And Father, we'll praise your blessed name and give you the glory and honor. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen and amen. And so in my closing today, as I always say, if you don't have it, God got it, and you are just one question away from your miracle, all you need to do is ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be open unto you. Until we meet again, may God richly, richly bless you. In Jesus' name, bye-bye.